It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold here on 96.5. The Fan, of course, the Royals right here on 96.5. Coming up a little bit later on tonight, Vern's On Deck show, 5:30. First pitch, 6:40, as the Royals take on the Guardians. And right now, I'm curious where everybody's at viewing the final 20 or so games versus a week ago when, hey, they're going to win this division maybe. Now we know they're 4.5 back. They've lost 6 in a row. It's the longest losing streak of the season.
Yeah.
So if I were just to ask you guys simply, making the playoffs, is it still a yes for you? I can tell you FanGraph says it's a 78.3% chance still. It was 90 like a week ago, but a 78.3% chance that the Royals still make the playoffs. Let me remind you, they have a 4.5 game lead for the final wild card spot as it currently sits. So for me, I look at that and say, look, they're not going to just never win a game again, okay? Things are bad, but they're getting good enough starting pitching despite the offense not being there that I think that will allow them to get out of this thing, not just hopefully tonight, but over the final 20 or so games. The division's a different conversation. That is where, if to me, they don't win tonight, the division's over. I really believe that.
Just
I
think tonight, not the series.
I think there's few enough games left that is not crazy for me to say that tonight's game could decide whether or not they have a chance for the division still.
I think similar to the last series we talked about against Cleveland, which was you cannot lose this series and still win the division. I wouldn't necessarily put it on tonight, although pretty hard to win the series if you lose the first game, especially because you got Singer on the mound against their number one starter. And so getting this one would feel like a pretty big swing in the right direction, because over the next two games, you would get Lugo and then maybe hypothetically Reagan's in the final game of the series, although they haven't announced that yet. So we'll, or in not the final game of the series, but in the last. So like maybe what we're talking about is win it, but yeah, because you already lost first game. I'm sorry. Yes, you have to win tonight. I'm just getting my things mixed up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's no tonight. Choice. If you think they're still winning this division, tonight is a must win for that.
Yeah, you
making
do.
The playoffs, it's not a must win.
So the one reason why I would say, if you ask me right now, do I think they're winning the division? The answer is no. I do not think they're winning the division. I think they're going to the playoffs? Yes. And that is very simply what I mentioned before. It is a time issue. 4.5 games with 20 games to play is a lot. Now the Tigers do have 3 games against the Royals next week or 2 weeks from now on the 16th, so they'll have a chance to make up some of the games they're actively missing right now. And the Royals still do have to take on the rest of the Guardian series, the Twins, the Yankees. It's not like their schedule's getting any easier, but 4.5 games? You have to play nearly perfect. The Tigers have won like 9 of their last 10 games, and they're still 5.5 games back. The Mariners are 6 games back. The Red Sox are 4.5 games back, and their schedule's not easy to end the year either. I still think they're making the postseason. The outlook for the postseason, here's the good news. I can still make an argument for them winning postseason series without Vinny Pasquantino. For the same reason, I think they'll likely make the postseason now, which is their pitching staff can still carry them. It can still shoulder the burden on this end. We'll take calls if you want. 913-586-7965. I want to know whether or not you think, same question Alex asked, do you think this team is still winning division? Do you still think, or can win the division? Do you think this team is going to the playoffs? We want to know. Give us a call, 913-586-7965. Because, Gold, it's hard for me right now just based on time. If this injury had happened August 2nd, we might be having a different conversation. Because the way this team's played since Vinny went down feels like the air was taken out of the balloon. I mean, it felt like they got sucker punched to the gut, and they still haven't gotten back up off the mat.
No, the offense in particular has not recovered from that. And look, you're not ever replacing Vinny in your lineup. We all knew that the minute the injury happened. But him alone, we should not be talking about this team going into seventh and eighth innings with one hit or two hits. Now, some of that, give credit to the Astros, right? Their starting rotation has been pitching really, really well. But this team is reeling right now, and they have to snap out of it very quickly, as in, I really think tonight has to be the night. Because all of a sudden, we're talking about a seven-game losing streak. Then those thoughts, I think, do start to creep in. You know, you try to avoid it if you're the clubhouse or outside noise. But I think that stuff starts to become real if tonight doesn't flip for you. You win tonight, take a deep breath. And all right, let's forget what happened last week and regroup. They have had a brutal week. It has been bad luck after bad luck. But you can't, as I said, sulk and just like, woe is me for the remainder of the season. I'm not saying they're doing that, but like that just can't happen. And I start to worry that could happen if this gets a little bit longer. 913-586-7965. Let's go out to the phone and hear from some of you as well. We've got Zach from St. Joe. Zach, you're on Cody and Gold.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call today.
You got it.
You know, I think I've called in the Vern's post game show, and I'm kind of the overly optimistic Royals fan. So I would love to say that I think we're going to win the division, but I think they gave it their best leg that they could. We got some injuries here, man, and those do play a factor, especially with Vinny being out 6 to 8 weeks. He's been one of our more consistent bats, I would say. So it's kind of unfortunate just that skid that they've hit here with the injury bug. That's a terrible time to happen, but that's baseball and that's sports. So I think we still have a good chance to get in a wild card spot. Like you guys talked about earlier, you know, we got kind of a good distance there on Boston still. So even for this team this year, that's going to be remarkable to have made the playoffs. And honestly, guys, that just gets me more fired up for what's coming next year, because I know they're going to get in this offseason. They're going to address the issues that we've seen, and we're going to have a good one next year. If we don't get it this year, that's all right. We still got Chiefs football. Everything's going to be all good. But wild card maybe. Division I think might be a little bit out, but definitely a wild card spot I think that they can make it this year.
Appreciate it, Zach. Zach with us here on Cody and Gold, 913-586-7965. He mentions the wild card portion as well. Where the Red Sox are sitting and that they have a cushion. They do, but this is why also the losing streak has to stop for the Royals.
Keep the cushion.
The Red Sox are playing the Mets for two more. Okay, they lost last night. Then they do get the White Sox for three.
You would think the
Red Sox are winning that series, maybe sweeping. So the Red Sox will start winning as well here soon. They've also, I think, out of their last 10, not much different than
the Royals.
They've
let the Tigers and the Mariners back into the mix.
So the wild card, I think, is in play, but the Royals have to totally get out of this thing. Someone says, quit saying 6 to 8 weeks for Vinny. We all know he's out for the season.
I talked to Vinny personally, and he does not seem to think that he's definitively out for the season. So I kind of refuse to eliminate that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter either way in terms of how we want to phrase it. 6 to 8 weeks is most likely the season. Yes, you're correct. They would have to make the ALCS. If they make the LCS, we'll see. And Vinny obviously needs to be optimistic during his recovery.
Yeah. I refuse to give up on Vinny's season.
If I'm Vinny, of course, you're not saying the season's over. I totally understand that from his point of view.
He's most likely supposed to have surgery today, which will give us even more answers on where he is based on what he told the media yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, yes, for this conversation, getting to the playoffs, Vinny has no bearing. For the next 2.5 weeks, Vinny will not matter whether or not they make it. So that same stat we gave a couple of weeks ago, when they really got up on Boston, there's just less games now. So if the Royals have 23 games remaining and Boston has 23 or 24, it requires Boston to go like 14-8 or 15-9, and the Royals simultaneously during that time to go the opposite of that, to go 10-14 or 9-4, you know, like it requires the records to both be very good on one side and very bad on the other. And there's just not enough. Every game the Royals win makes it 5% more likely they're going to just make the postseason, because there won't be enough games left to catch them. All right. So I had said on social media, people were asking in the text line today as well, some people are asking for the opposite. I'm not going to pretend like that's not the case, but there've been people who have asking to lift the ban on me from singing so I can do a Royal song and bring this team back to feeling good. I've not started one yet because I knew I was banned until the 21st. But you said you would at least entertain offers for a one-time ban exemption.
Yeah, Miko, the ban has not been lifted. I don't know who was running the station account. I don't know if that was Kramer. I don't know if that was the boss. I don't know who that was. The ban, despite what the tweet said, the ban, you will admit, has not been lifted.
We have to talk this out.
That wasn't just a simple, like, hey, Gold doesn't want me to sing. That's not how this
works. There was a punishment for you if I had won.
We made a bet. Cody lost the hot dog derby race. The rules were you were not allowed to sing till the 21st. So there, if I am to allow you to sing, there has to be some concession on your part on top of it. There has to be some other future punishment. There has to be something, I'll be honest, that I'm getting in exchange.
What would you like?
Well, I want to hear where you're the one that's trying to break the contract here. You got to tell me what you're offering and we'll go from there.
I have a simple offer.
Okay.
But I think it's one that everyone will agree is a worthy trade-off for a one day. I'll still not sing any other new songs till the 21st.
Until the next time you want to sing.
No, before the ban.
That's my issue.
One-time ban exemption. This is a one-time ban exemption for the song. I will not try to ask again before the 21st. I will make one deal, and then we'd like your opinion. 913-586-7965, or I'm open to counters. If you let me sing a royal song to try to help this team get out of their funk, I will tell you what I got my wife for Mother's Day.
Yeah, see, the issue with that, I'll be honest, the issue with that, it's been a longstanding thing on the show, and people do want to know that. The problem is, I don't know if you've just built it up so much that it's actually a nothing burger, and we're going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
that's why, and the fact that you're so eager to just now open it up.
I haven't told you. I had to think of something I thought you would accept.
So, I'll be honest, I don't think that's going to get it done.
Wow.
I'll also say, the Royals, while you have been banned from singing, at one point we're in first place. I want to acknowledge that with this slump buster talk. The Royals, since the ban was in place, were basically a 500 team. The Royals had a 15-13 August. So it's not like they've gone south since the ban started. They actually, up until the last week, they were in first place.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay, so that one, I don't think that is probably not going to get it done. Here's a few things for you.
Okay. Text lines offered all kinds of randomness.
Number one, since that, we'll go from there. The first idea I had was, you guys recall, you've heard the promo for a while. Cody said that back in May, if the Royals win the World Series, he would get a tattoo.
You want me to get it now?
So, hold on. Okay. No, not quite to that extreme. Don't worry, I'm not doing that.
Where you're going.
But I'm not going to say you got to get a tattoo to sing. That would be ridiculous. I'm trying to be fair in this negotiation. I think a fair offer, if the Royals win the division, you get a tattoo.
Same tattoo?
Sure.
Oh, man. The division.
It's aggressive, but also understandable offer.
They win the next two games, and then the sweat's definitely back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that your main offer, or do you have some other side offers?
It's a negotiation. I've got other opportunities, perhaps.
I kind of like sticking to the original tattoo. What else do you got?
I kind of like sticking to the original band. See, this is how this works.
I'm going to have to release this thing just on social media. I don't want to do that.
So you're out on that? You won't do that?
No, I'm not getting a tattoo for the division.
Okay. Do you have another offer?
I don't think he does. I think he was so confident.
I was confident on that one that I thought. I thought I considered, what if I had to do it like anybody else campaigning for an event? What if I had to get 1,000 signatures? What if I could get 1,000 signatures of people who say they want the song? Well, then you let me go on the air if I got 1,000 people
that
said,
how are you getting 1,000 signatures?
I will stand outside of the K, and I will get signatures for my petition to allow me one song.
That's fun.
Someone says that Cody sings Perez will probably go on the IL. What? I wasn't singing when...
Jeez.
Relax.
Here's where I...
Make Cody wear a Speedo?
Someone says, just let Cody sing, Gold. This is dumb. Here's my issue. There's a bigger problem by me just caving without getting anything in return.
Bans me nothing?
Any other bet on the show doesn't mean anything. The precedent is terrible at that point. That means any other bet, anybody can just...
Was it renege
or whatever on the bet? Like, that's it. So you can decide it's that. If you don't want to do the tattoo, how about this? You donate $96.50 to the show fund.
$100.
And you wait till Friday to sing it.
So I got to wait to see if they turn it around first.
You wait till Friday and you donate and then you can sing Friday.
$96.50 to the show fund.
Yep, helps the whole show.
Okay.
Well, in fairness, I do think that. So you're saying he has to donate now and then wait, or is it waiting until Friday?
They're both
and then
in conjunction.
Okay. So theoretically, he waits until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Do I owe the $96.50 whether they start winning or not? You want to give more days for the Royals to pay. So you're saying the $96.50 is just the payment for the chance to sing.
$96.50, if the Royals start winning, is paid on Friday. Okay. If the Royals continue this six game, hopefully it ends at six, game losing streak, then you just sing on Friday. There's no payment.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I think that's pretty fair.
It's actually not a bad deal. That's not terrible. Someone says have him wear a clown suit for a day. No signatures from family or friends they'd like to make clear if Cody gets 1,000 signatures. Okay, I'd like a half an hour to think over my choices, and then I will get back to you on my options.
I'm not happy, though, with you, Cody V, because you have a history of not paying
that's the issue.
Off a bet.
There's a bet from 2 years ago, guys. If
I went
with,
to a strip club once.
Nope. The bet was you lost a bet, with once again, directly made with me.
I don't remember what that bet was for.
And you were supposed to go to a strip club for the first time in your life. Behalf of the show, and you never did. It's been 2 years.
It was a bet. I think it was that one might have been like a promissory note as a guillotine league thing to like increase the league. I don't think you and I made a bet for that one. I don't think it was a bet, but it was
the
like
only thing
some
that
sort of promissory
the only
thing
that can completely wipe this out to where you don't have to possibly pay money, where you don't have to wait till Friday, is if tonight. You go to the strip club then and just get it out
just
of the way.
Tonight? Like after the Royals
Tuesday.
Game?
On a random Tuesday night.
On a Tuesday night?
Or you can go before the game. You can go in the afternoon.
Afternoon?
Oh, jeez.
Those are the options. We'll let you consider them over the next.
Okay.
You know?
Man, I think I'd rather go after the game. Tuesday at 3 o'clock. That's a bleak win. Are they even open? Open at Tuesday at 3
maybe.
O'clock?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Top text.
Okay. Yeah, they're all good.
Someone says, so you scared of some ass cheeks, Cody?
Huh? No, just not my preferred location to be. All right, I'm going to consider all those things.
I will answer. I think you would have had a better chance of getting Gold to agree to the present reveal if that wouldn't have been your first choice. Like, if you wouldn't have been so eager to...
I'll be honest, Drew, I thought about this last night a little bit. The bar was set very high on the bet because I think it's a dangerous precedent we're setting, you know?
You want me to pay a steep price to get out of the bet.
Trying to break a bet?
That actually doesn't seem unfair.
Because before, as Gold said, this has been a thing, obviously, before I was around even, that nobody knew what you got. And for you to openly say, yeah, sure, I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. Maybe it's not as big of a deal as what...
He asked my wife on the air once, and she wouldn't answer. So I thought offering up something.
I think,
but it's been so long. Like,
no, maybe not.
Someone says you're horrible. I include that on the counter. No, because I'm not combining multiple things. Yeah. Okay. He also hasn't agreed, so we still have to iron this out.
Yep. Still got to work through this thing. Meanwhile, over the weekend, we got local college football back in games that didn't matter. If we're being honest, all completely.
They matter.
They matter. It would have changed
against
the entire.
Lindenwood?
Missouri would have not been making the college football playoff if they somehow would have lost.
I'm just telling you. I didn't think they mattered in the sense that they were never going to lose those football games. Not like Florida State or whatever the last two nights apparently can't beat anybody in college football at all. Boy, I bet they regret playing week zero now.
Not only are they 0-2, they're 0-2 in conference.
Florida
well.
State, they stay
completely exposed.
DJ is shown this time and time again. Anyway, the three locals, I think the most impressive team, though, if you could say that considering the competition, was Missouri, and solely because of Luther Burden. That's the only reason
why. It's Missouri
why.
Because of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jalen Daniels only played for one half, right? Like,
great, perfect. You know,
yeah, no, which was fine, but that's why I think the Missouri Tigers' performance
was impressive.
Burden overall, I think would be the answer to.
I think K-State was fine. Avery Johnson had moments. Only one design run for Avery Johnson. That'll be interesting. I think Marcus Carroll and Nate Noel really showed a little bit of what they could be as well. I know that Luther Burden obviously is the guy.
Yeah, he had three catches for 39 yards. I'm not acting like he had 180 yards, but like the touchdown catch, and he still is. The best receiver in the country for a reason.
Well, I think to their credit as well, I know that they're playing a team, a very, very, very inferior opponent, but there are teams like Oregon really struggled against Idaho. Missouri didn't waste any time. I think it was the fastest they had gotten to 21 or 28 points in the school's history. Like they came out and punched them right in the mouth, and they addressed what they wanted to do right away.
And by half, both teams, both Kansas and Missouri on Thursday night, were up 30 whatever at half. The games were long over, completely fried.
Yeah, KU, Missouri,
not they particularly
both
close.
I mean, yeah, Drew, exactly. They both covered.
It's very early. Not blown away by Avery Johnson's first game. Like, he looked, okay. Like, the one pick didn't really bother me. He ran a little bit. They obviously completely destroyed their competition. But sometimes against inferior competition, I want you to make them look inferior to you athletically. And I didn't come out of that K-State game being like, Avery Johnson made these all look like a bunch of kindergarten kids while he was running roughshod over the rest of the game. He looked pretty good. I wouldn't like, but if you were making me rank them, I thought Missouri looked the most impressive, Kansas looked the second most, and K-State the third. But it's games against Lindenwood and Tennessee Martin and Murray State. Well, I'm not going to like make my entire season opinions on just those games.
To your point, though, Cody, the toughest matchup for the three locals is for Kansas State. They travel to Tulane,
right,
who are very, very legit. So I think that makes it interesting is how quickly can you go from the inferior opponent to a very solid one in just a week span.
I mean, based on the odds market, actually, the KU-Illinois game is the toughest one coming up this weekend. KU's a five.
An interesting one.
Potentially,
yeah.
Like, I mean, now that is, they also, the odds makers may view K-State in much higher regard too, right? So that's why they're a 10-point favorite over Tulane, and maybe KU would only be a 6-point favorite against Tulane. I don't know. But KU's 5.5-point favorite against Illinois this week. K-State's a 10-point favorite. Missouri's like a 30-something point favorite against Buffalo this particular weekend.
And because Giddens was so good in that K-State game, they didn't really need Avery Johnson to be great. Just run for a billion yards in that game instead.
Yeah.
Which you can get away with in college football a lot. And I also think will
especially
probably be
those teams, yeah.
I also think it's what their offense will look like this year. They will be a run dominant team because Avery Johnson's ability and Giddens' ability. Like, they will run the ball a lot and look good in those situations. And it's, again,
nobody should
inferior
be
inferior opponents. No opinions change.
Yeah, nobody should change their season long. Nobody should be changing it either way in either direction, right? Their season long thoughts.
I can't believe I called a K-State hater. I chose them to win the Big 12. I said they're going to win the Big 12.
The weekend upcoming will be a bigger test, obviously, for a couple of them. And you'll continue to, you know, craft your opinions maybe even more about these particular teams.
I think the preseason poll doesn't matter, like you have said multiple times, Golden.
All these teams in September, like I think all three locals are going undefeated in September. And so it sets up in October. That's going to be really, really special as this is a competition really cranks up a notch for all three of the local schools. Someone says, I know you guys are not considering Nebraska local, but they look good. I agree. They got a hell of a test this weekend.
Mahomes' cousin looked really nice.
Dude, is he it's like actively trying to look like Mahomes.
He looked great.
And Mahomes is bought into. He calls him Cuzzo and everything like that on
Twitter.
He trains
with the same trainer and everything.
Yeah.
He looked impressive in their first game against UTEP? Yeah, UTEP, I think it was, this past
weekend.
And
they have Colorado this week, yeah.
I think they're going to beat up Colorado, but we'll see.
I think that game is really good.
We're not a believer after that first Colorado game. They still can't play any defense, and Shedeur Sanders is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
what
Travis
I learned in that
Hunter
game is Travis Hunter
incredible.
And Shedeur Sanders are a lot of fun.
They did
and the rest
the
of their
half,
team,
yeah.
And the rest of their team stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk more college football maybe later in the week. Obviously, Friday is going to be all dedicated to the Chiefs, but someone says, why aren't you talking about Texas and Michigan? Oh, it's a huge game, but you know,
I'm trying to get that Wednesday weirdly enough because Friday we're going to be talking about what happened in game one Chiefs Ravens.
Yeah, people won't want us to be talking about Texas and Michigan Friday at 1 o'clock when the Chiefs are coming off the season opener and the Royals are entering another huge series. But yes, I'm excited for Texas and Michigan this weekend as well. I think Texas is going to roll Michigan this weekend.
Ewers looked good.
He did. Michigan was unimpressive.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That was as Michigan a game though as you ever see. They have a quarterback problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem against Texas.
That is their problem.
That seems like the problem of all problems to not have, but they do have
I mean, same thing. The Wisconsin Badgers play Alabama in 2 weeks. They're going to get killed. They don't have a quarterback problem. A lot of teams have quarterback problems. It seems like.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing that Steve Spagnuolo just said the other day, heading in to this opener about that cornerback spot, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's at stake.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ready, week one.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Of course, the game on Thursday to kick off this season. You can hear it right here on 96.5, The Fan. You'll hear Mitch and Danen and Kling and Dan Israel right here on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5, The Fan. As the Chiefs open up against Baltimore, we talked about that particular matchup a little bit earlier in the show. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. But I still think the unanswered question is pretty clear. Even Spags once again reiterated the number two cornerback spot. That remains an unanswered question, and they will continue mixing and matching options there. I know the depth chart did come out, and on the depth chart, Jalen Watson was listed as corner two. I don't think that means a damn thing, clearly. I mean, it's an unanswered question. They're going to mix and match. They could have thrown any name out there at number two corner. Jalen Watson, I guess, technically could end up, could he get the very first snap on defense? Maybe so, but they're going to work in Joshua Williams and Nazee Johnson and maybe somebody else that we're not talking about enough into that mix, and someone's going to have to make plays and emerge. Like, I think it'll get settled here in the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, but it's a question, and it's fair. My concern level is like, I guess, middle of the road. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, my concern that they don't have a number two corner that has emerged before the start of the season and their coaching staff has admitted that, it's like a 5 on the scale of 10. Like,
no, but if you told me week 15, burger, they still didn't know who their corner two is, I got a problem.
Sure.
Because I'm with you. You can, as the Chiefs have done multiple times over the last 5 years, slow walk a position into comfort. Because let's even take wide receiver last year as an example. You'd be like, why the hell would you use that as an example? Well, because going into week one last year, they thought Tony was their one, MVS was their two, Rashee Rice was their five, and they had a whole different plan for what the hell they were offensively. By week 16, while it was not pretty, and we still did not love their wide receiver options, Tony wasn't on the field, Rashee Rice was their number one, they had decided who they were. They were going to play the best version of themselves by then. So just as long as they get corner two solved by the end of the year, even if it is still a problem position, if you know who you are, you can design your defense around to solve some of those problems. These first few weeks are probably going to stink a little, because I do think what's going to happen is, I think the quarterback's going to go back, and the game plans going into these games are going to be, we're going to line Amon-Ra, because not them, but we're going to line up our number one wide receiver directly against that dude, and we're going to go at him for a while until they prove whether or not he can guard or can't. I think they're going to specifically, in the first month of the season, Ja'Marr Chase is going to end up on Jalen Watson a lot, or Joshua Williams a lot, or in, you know, Baltimore's case, or the Chargers' case, whoever their number one is, in this case, the Chargers, Ladd McConkey, I don't know.
I think Josh Palmer's.
Josh Palmer, fine. Josh Palmer is going to find himself lined up against corner two a lot for this team. But I like that Spags is willing to admit it, because knowing your flaws is the easiest way to try to hide them. Every team has to hide their flaws. For the longest time, for the Chiefs, it was linebacker, and they'd like rotate safeties into the box all the time. But I actually think someone said they got worse at linebacker because there's no Willie Gay. I think they got better. I think Leo Chenal is likely to be a better player this year than Willie Gay was.
There's a chance as the season, you know, gets towards the end. Remember, that's also the difference with, I think, the Chiefs versus other teams. Yeah, they want to win every regular season game, duh. But they're all about building it up for the postseason and playing. Everybody wants to play their best football by the time the postseason happens. The Chiefs, actually, last year, they were playing their best football the minute the playoffs started. It worked. That's the ultimately their goal. Yeah, they want to be a number one seed. They want the bye. That'd be great if they get back to doing that. But it's about building it up, and as you progress through the season, having, you know, the right mix in the right spots and have the right flow and all that. And that, and this coaching staff time and time again has proven that. Because I almost willing to bet on Thursday night. The first few drives, people will be very frustrated maybe with Spags or something, right? Which is silly. And then nobody because adjusted better, period, in the NFL last year as a coach in-game than Steve Spagnuolo. That's why he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league has ever seen. Yes, ever seen.
He's the only one to win with multiple teams and a Super Bowl title.
And so no matter how the first quarter, first drive, first game goes, I have plenty of confidence that Spags will get this thing figured out if it actually is an issue. Let's see if it is a problem or not at number two corner. There's also the motivating aspect of it, too. If you're Jalen Watson or Joshua Williams and your coach is out there publicly saying that it's unanswered. We don't have a guy that's emerged. You would like to think it should have been motivation during camp, but it didn't equate to the results. And somebody's going to step up and make a play and I think solidify that spot eventually. Here's the thing. We're not talking about a bunch of unproven guys. So you're right that it's
Guys who have played for this team in Super Bowl wins.
Like that's the difference for me. I think I'd be more concerned if it was a bunch of names nobody knew. I mean, Joshua Williams played for this team last year. Jalen Watson played with an injury on this team a year ago. We also know even his rookie year, he came up with the big play on the opener or the second game of the year against the Chargers, had the big interception of Justin Herbert. Like he won them
that game.
He's made big time plays. So that's why maybe on the scale of 1 to 10, I'm at like a 5 of concern.
I just wonder if the Ravens aren't the best like test for cornerback two, just because of the way that they play. Like, Rashad Bateman's the number two wide receiver. It's not a great option. Plus, they go through Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely a lot. They run if they get out of game one and they look great, you don't want to jump the gun, I think. I mean, oh, yeah, everything's fine or it's figured out with one guy because they looked great against the Ravens when maybe against the Falcons or the Bengals. You're going to go up against T. Higgins or Drake London or whoever it is, Darnell Mooney, whoever wide receiver number two is, or how they finagle to get the number one. And I just wonder if they won't be, they'll look really good on Thursday, but that's not to, the overreaction shouldn't be, well, they look great, then we need to roll with Jalen Watson, or we got to roll with Joshua Williams because he had two picks or one pick in the game.
No, it's going to be, but I'm all for hot hand game to game for a little while. If Jalen Watson doesn't have it that day and they roll in Joshua Williams and he's doing a better job, congrats.
Well, yeah, sure.
We might see the snap counts kind of move around a little bit, because the issue has never been they think they have no talented corner. The way they have discussed cornerback on this team is they don't trust any of them to do it consistently. Look, this first week is not actually a good test of this, because this first week, the number one wide receiver on the Ravens
is Drew's point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's not a good test anyway. It's Bateman.
It's only Zay Flowers.
Or Zay Flowers.
The wide receiver room.
They're good. They're good wide receivers. Zay Flowers had a nice rookie year, but unless you think Tez Walker's rolling in after his funeral last year for North Carolina is just rolling in as immediately impactful.
That was an interesting way to phrase that.
Dude, they put their number on his helmet like he had passed away.
That's the way the sentence started. If people that didn't know the background were like, what are you talking about?
You're fearful of Nelson Aguilar. They're not going to come get you.
Yeah, Tez Walker was not eligible at North Carolina, and they put a sticker on their helmet and stuff, treated it like someone had passed away.
Play for Tez.
Yeah, it was very weird. Yes, I'm with you.
Weird vibes.
But if nobody knew the story and all they heard,
you'd be like, Tez, what? Their player died? And he's fine now? Plays with the team?
No, I'm with both of you that, I guess on the flip side, Drew, if there's struggles in the secondary that room, then you're probably more concerned. I just also think it's just,
you're right.
This is a defense that builds up as the season goes. That we looked up these stats. I don't have any more. We did this a year or so ago. And we looked at Steve Spagnuolo, first half of the season versus second half of the season. And it is a clear difference.
Massive.
In a positive way.
First half, second half, too.
In a positive way, yeah. In individual games. He's really good at making adjustments. To me, that's just a sign of a great coach. That you can have a game plan all week, and the other team, of course, is going to give you stuff you've never seen before or whatever, and you're able to adjust on the fly. That, to me, is what makes you a hell of a coach, and that's what Spags is.
The best defensive coordinator in the league?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, at this point, this is the best possible news for the Chiefs, their current situation, which is nobody's banging down the door to try to make Matt Nagy their head coach yet, and nobody's doing it for Spags, which is great. Sad news for them, great news for the Kansas City Chiefs, because you and I both agree at some point, Spags has done such a good job with that defense. It's actually kind of surprising somebody won't give him another chance, but nobody's going after the 55-year-old defensive coordinator. Come run things. That's not going to be the person who gets the head coaching job or on any shortlist for head coaching job. So he gets to just keep being your defensive coordinator here in the middle of your dynastic Super Bowl style of run.
Yeah, and he said he would obviously would love to be head coach.
Where was
again.
He at before? Where was his
Rams and Giants?
Okay, right.
Rams and Giants. Remember the Niners this past offseason, reportedly right before he got that extension from the Chiefs, they announced that the Niners had reached out, like, because they knew his contract was up or whatever.
Shanahan is definitely one of those. He's like the teacher who walks into the class. He's like, there's no dumb questions in my class, because he was out here bringing up Bill Belichick, being like, hey, you want a job? It's like, to do what? Literally anything, Bill. Don't care, man. Job's yours. You want any job in this building that isn't head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, I'll give it to you. I might even give you that one. And then he's out here trying for Spags because he's probably sick of Spags sticking it to him in the postseason runs where he consistently makes these other teams look bad. That's what's fun about game week anyway. We get into this, and you and I got to have the same conversation, which is we're 2 days away from the attempt to three-peat, the attempt to complete history that no one else has done before. The things that they have on the line that other teams can't say they have on the line. They're on their own. They have a chance to, you know, do something that obviously no one else in NFL has been able to complete. Plenty of teams have had a chance to complete it, though.
Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. And yeah, we are a couple days away. You're starting to get more and more excited. Tomorrow's Red Wednesday in Kansas City, so you'll have a chance to get your flags. I think anytime you got coming off the Super Bowl year, those are always more interesting for everybody, too. These say back-to-back on them, right? That's a collector's item. If we can get our hands on one, we'll probably throw it in the Cody and Gold garage sale next year. That typically has been a very popular item as well. Yeah. But that, like, all these are signs of the season coming back. Like, tomorrow, I think they dye the fountains red around town, right? All that, those are all signs. Anybody that's lived in Kansas City, I know it's Red Wednesday, not Red Friday, but Red Wednesday is becoming a thing because when you win the Super Bowl, you're playing on every Thursday. So we just got to get used to this Red Wednesday thing tomorrow.
This is going to be this is going to be a wild year because the Red Wednesday thing, it's like, this is the year of the Chiefs playing every day of the week but Tuesday.
True.
I can't believe we're going to have to go through a Chiefs season. We're going to have to watch them play Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
They're acting like this is a terrible thing.
That's ludicrous.
I don't like that they're playing 3-11 days or whatever it is in December. Like, that's a brutal, brutal stretch. But in general, I've told you, like, that means, again, on some of those weeks, I've got football on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday.
Do you want that? You want to just eat up every day of the week for you?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Now, okay. If I'm a Chiefs season ticket holder, I wouldn't want a, you know, the Black Friday game. I wouldn't want a Christmas Day game. I know they're in Pittsburgh this year, but like those are the ones I think would be problematic. If you're a road team, then sure, why not? I know the players probably aren't huge fans of playing on Christmas Day. I'm talking just from a season ticket holder or fan perspective. Like, yeah, if the Christmas Day game is not a home game, then you're probably okay with it. It's a home game. Some people, they like to go on Christmas to a game. For others,
it's like a family thing.
For some, it screws up their whole family plan. It just depends.
They become like I think it's really 50-50. There's the families who take it as we're family. Look at us, the Golds, all together on Christmas Day at the game. And then the other half, you become the pariah. You're like, hey guys, I won't be at Christmas. It'll be the game. Like, what the hell, Jim? Why aren't you going to be at family Christmas? We've been doing it at 3:00 for the last 20 consecutive years. And now you're not going to come for the Chiefs game? Come on, man. I think it's 1 year. I get Christmas every year. It's fine. I'll get another one next year. That's my general feeling on holidays, you know? Yeah, it'll come back around.
Sorry. I was trying to find the Brian Kelly audio. He said family.
My family.
Anytime you say family, I tried the fake accent that Brian Kelly tried to have. LSU. Shout out to LSU losing their opener again.
What happened to LSU?
That was a great football game, by the way.
Man, you sent the same text or tweet out again as you did the week before and said basically, this atmosphere, never like this in the NFL.
They had more people were there.
Drew, will you go to the game on Thursday? So I can give you a meal?
Don't you have a press pass for the game?
I do. More people.
Go to the game Thursday then.
More
people. So we can stop with this Arrowhead hate.
More people were at that game than there were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's because there was media seating and everything. There was also only 63,000 people at Allegiant Stadium. It doesn't hold that many.
Yeah, no, I'm saying there's more people that were there than the freaking Super Bowl. So I just think the idea that
there's less seating available.
Well, yeah, I know.
They were sold to the same capacity, 100%. Does that, you know?
I'm just saying, you would think that standing room only, like GA, you get more people for the Super Bowl than you would for the first game of the season.
Are you trying to say there wasn't interest in the Super Bowl, but there was more interest in LSU playing a game in September?
Dude, they have more seats. This is not about interest level. If there were 80,000 seats available to sell for the Super Bowl, they would have sold 80,000 seats.
I know, but I think if there were 80,000 seats for the in Allegiant Stadium, they would have sold 80,000 seats for this LSU.
I don't disagree with that either. But
agreed.
But this weird, you're on a weird. You know, this is because
college football's back, and he's a college football guy.
This is because of your podcast. You have a new one coming out this week, right? 249 miles to football. It's because of that. You're on a crusade to somehow prove that college football is just as competitive and interesting and everything than the NFL. And I like college football. I'm having a blast already watching it this year. It's been fun. But we don't have to, every time there's a good college football game, try to say, this would never happen in the NFL, because it happens every week in the NFL.
I didn't say it would happen, but it's amazing that the Super Bowl was outsold in the exact same same stadium.
Yeah. I mean, the LSU game was probably $250 tickets. The Super Bowl was like $1,200 tickets, at least, if not $5,000 tickets.
I don't
actually.
$1,200. I don't think you get in the door.
Yeah. Sorry, $5,000
tickets. People who are buying, people buy them. Like they go to the game. So I think that it's just there's more people there. Like people, there are a lot of people who can afford.
So your stance is the more people who so by your stance. A Taylor Swift concert's better atmosphere than any LSU game's ever been.
Now
there's more people there, Drew. You told me it's about the number of people, not anything else, just the vibes.
How many people are going to Taylor Swift concerts?
More than go to an LSU football.
How many people go to a Taylor Swift concert?
100,000 people. You see how many people were like the Chapel Roan one at whatever concert she was at? There was like 100,000 people there. Concerts? People go to a lot of those.
LSU Stadium has 102,000 people, 102,000 capacity. I'm just telling you that
just more seats makes it better.
When watching the Texas A&M game and you see Towel, everybody's going nuts. They're playing Mo Bamba. In terms of the entire stadium.
Yeah, they're all playing. They're all playing folklore.
All 300 whatever sections. I'm not saying that an NFL stadium doesn't have a vibe, but I'm saying in general, you have a better vibe at that Texas A&M game than you do at a Jacksonville Jaguars football
game.
And
what I'm telling you is that Taylor Swift had 300,000 people come 3 days in a row. When LSU get people 3 days in a row?
Yes.
Better atmosphere, Gold. That's my argument now. Taylor Swift concert.
LSU football would have 300,000 people if they played 3 days in a row. They would sell out. I'm telling you
argument is just that there are more seats.
No. My argument, if you go to a Jacksonville Jaguars game, the vibe is better at an LSU game.
Oh, you picked the worst fan base in the NFL.
That's not fair.
Come on, man.
By my argument, if I said if you went to a Tennessee Martin game.
No, that was the stance of the entire take that I had last week. Is maybe Arrowhead is the outlier. 31 other stadiums, 31 other NFL stadiums.
It really is the outlier. It really is.
But 31 other NFL stadiums, you cannot argue with me then in that point. Arrowhead, sure, it's different. But 31 NFL stadiums don't fit the proper vibe of a college football game. That, yes, to me, is a problem.
But when you agree, Drew, so this that, is that's we gotta why move, we got to move on. But
that's why you need theme. That's why the Eagles should have.
No, we're back to T-shirts.
No, that's why the Eagles need to have a whiteout game, because not enough people. The vibe is not good enough for me watching on TV to be like, damn, that looks like a fun place to go and visit. That looks awesome. That environment is cool.
Last thing, we do need to move on. Last thing I'll say is, I think Arrowhead's an outlier, but I also think
you can't argue Arrowhead anymore.
Hold on, thank you, Cody. Exactly, but LSU also an outlier. There's that's not the norm either. That's all I'm saying. Other than that, stop with the whiteout T-shirt thing. More Chiefs fans and Chiefs games aren't going to be better because they give people a free koozie. Okay, it's not going
to
matter.
How far down do you want me to go?
This isn't minor league baseball. Like, go ahead. Sorry.
You want me to give you Iowa? You want me to give you Nebraska? Nebraska's got a better vibe than the Eagles do. Nebraska football has a better vibe.
I've been to Nebraska games. Good time. I think Eagles games, from all accounts.
And I'm going low on the list. I'm not even going top 25.
Can you at least agree? We're talking about today about bets and negotiations. Can you agree before the next time you try to say that
you'll go to Arrowhead?
You have not been to a game at Arrowhead. Can you please go Thursday? You have a press pass, for crying out loud.
Or go against Cincinnati.
me too. Experiencing it as a fan is the way to do it. But go Thursday and just right before kickoff, walk out of the press box, go to the upper, the forward deck or whatever. Go up there and just soak in the atmosphere right before kickoff as they're putting up a banner at 7:09, by the way, on Thursday, Drew. 7:09, be outside the press box. That's when they're putting up a banner, something that you and Cincinnati fans haven't seen before. They're going to put up another one at Arrowhead. Go outside at 7:09 on Thursday. Please. Please.
Just listen to it.
From the text line, I've been to 10 NFL stadiums, all but Arrowhead sucked. It's then for you to say an NFL game sucked, college is better. Other than, fine, Arrowhead. That's still not 31 because two teams share stadiums. 29 other stadiums stink. You have 110,000 people that go to college football games when you have 65 that go to NFL games.
Again, just a capacity thing.
I know, but the vibe, why don't NFL stadiums have 100,000 seats?
Because they don't have 30,000 students on campus.
They also have more suites. But anyway, it's a whole every stadium.
All the suits, I forgot. Yeah, they have to be. I forgot. It has to be expensive so everybody can be at the cantinas in Arizona to have to spend 30 grand on a suite. Fine.
Cantinas? They're like something. They're Casa something. I don't know. Cantinas?
Casitas. That's what they are. Whatever the hell they are. Same point. The point is
from Star Wars?
Yeah.
Where Jabba the Hutt works? Is that what we're referencing? They have one of those at the stadium.
I will not say anything else about Arrowhead until I go to a game.
I think that's the rule at this point.
It's valid to talk about any other NFL stadium because I've been to a couple other ones and the vibe stinks. Just saying.
There are some people who agree with you, Drew, you know?
Nobody gets excited to
still
go.
Going. Drew's fired up. This has become his main campaign push if he was running for office. This is his platform. His stadiums and college way better than NFL. And I think a lot of them are, but you're also mentioning the outliers in college, just like we mentioned the outlier at Arrowhead. That's all. Anyway.
Fine. I'm excited
for people to be out at Arrowhead on Thursday.
Can't wait, man. Wednesday tomorrow. Thursday tailgating is going to be ridiculous. People are going to be hydrating themselves throughout the afternoon before the Chiefs game.
And if you want to listen to pregame with Danan, Mitch, and the Kling and the crew, 96.5 The Fan. That's where you hear the game and pregame right here on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Royals game tonight, Chiefs game on Thursday, K-State on Saturday, a little bit of everything.
Someone says, one day in the 60s, and I'm watching on the video, and you guys are wearing fall gear. Cody's dressed more like wintery than me, I think. You got
the shirt was already ironed.
We had a video crew in here from the Chiefs earlier, so be watching the franchise over the next couple of weeks. The franchise, we're in here shooting some video and interviewing for us to talk about the season, so that's why we're dressed
a little nicer.
Yeah, that's all it is. Now, for the Royals game tonight, I'm switching into Royals gear, obviously. Mm-hmm. We'll be good to go.
Correct. We'll be back into regular.
I don't know if you'll be able to see us on TV tonight or not. We'll be kind of to the left of home plate.
If you see us, send us a picture on social media.
Yeah. I think the shot's wide enough. We'll be able to see.
We'll find out.
Yes.
Sitting in those courtesy of Vinny. We'll give you Alex will give you a full review tomorrow. I'm assuming he's going to say it was amazing. I never want to sit in a different seat ever again.
That's true. up next, we'll get to what's trending, then get right back into the Royals where things stand. It has been a wild swing in the last 6 or 7 days, but to what extent can they recover? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.